give unto the Lord tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to dismiss some teachers here tonight. Pray the blessing of the Lord upon them. Hallelujah. Thankful for our teachers. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Young man back there is watching me, just waiting. We're going to go ahead and dismiss our children to their classes tonight. God bless our children. You couldn't see it if you were up here past the back row, but he was standing there just like this, watching me. Amen. We like to give our teachers a head start just so they're down there and ready. Amen. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight, the indwelling Spirit of God. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, I can't love the way I'm supposed to, or the way He wants me to. It's impossible. I'm thankful for the gift of the Holy Ghost. And like Brother Lewis was saying, sometimes we have people that will find that nerve and get on it. And so I'm going to either yield to my flesh, or I'm going to yield to the Holy Ghost, or submit to the Holy Ghost, maybe in that case. Amen. But the Holy Ghost causes the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts. I want that to work in my life. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We're glad you're here tonight. Amen. It's good to have our guests with us. Good to meet Connie, and glad she's here. Good to have Anna again and Monica. It's good to see these ladies. It's good to see Brother Shane tonight. Amen. Ray, I'm glad you're here, not Walla Walla. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Flowers to come. He's going to minister tonight. Amen. God bless you, Brother Flowers.
Praise Lord, everyone. Why don't we stand together if you would? I got a few different things, and I'm not sure which one's going to come first, second, and third. But I know who comes first. That's the Lord, right? Why don't we pray and just talk to Him for a little bit? Lord Jesus, we thank You, God. We thank You for this night, Lord. We thank You, God, for this time, Lord, that You have preordained, Lord Jesus. You've drawn us each here tonight by the work of Your Spirit, Lord Jesus. God, You know every situation, every circumstance, Lord, that's led us up to this point tonight. Jesus, Lord, we turn our eyes to You, Lord. We turn our minds to You. Jesus, we turn our spirits to You tonight. We desire to hear Your word, Jesus. We desire to know Your voice tonight. In the name of Jesus, let Your will be done tonight, O God. Jesus, accomplish Your will and Your purpose for this time. In the name of Jesus, we give You praise, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Let's just give Him some praise. Offer Him up a praise tonight. Jesus, You're worthy of praise. God, we exalt You. God, we glorify You. God, we magnify You. In the name of Jesus, Your holy Lord, Your holy Lord Jesus, we bless Your name, O God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Why don't you just stay standing for a moment? I'm going to share something with you. Most likely, everybody in the room has at one point or another used headphones or earbuds or probably both. Have you ever had one of those go out and the other one keep working? and then experience how annoying it can be to know that you're only hearing half of what's being sent your way. Right? Left one's working, right one's not. But I know there's something over here. I just can't hear it. Right? I'll tell you, one time that was happening to me with a set of earbuds. And I was so angry because I liked these. These were good ones. They were good quality. And Brother Lewis, you know what happened? Somehow, I bumped the head jack. It went in a little bit further, and I could hear both again, loud and clear, crystal clear. And I thought, that is what I was missing. And as I was just praying and seeking the Lord earlier in this service, I felt that some of us are not all the way plugged in. And I know that that's the case because you're not hearing and I'm not hearing it when that is the case, what it is that the Lord's really wanting to tell me. And maybe I catch part of it, I'm catching 50%, or this one's high volume, this one's just a little bit. And so with that in mind, I'm just going to give us a chance here to get plugged in, to get connected to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, we seek you tonight. Jesus, Lord, we desire what it is that you have for us tonight, Lord. Jesus, I pray you would draw us in closer by your side, Lord. Draw us closer, Lord Jesus. God, we want to be connected to you as the source, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray against any distraction, Lord. I pray against any hindrance tonight, Lord Jesus. God, I pray right now, Lord, let us be plugged into your Spirit. Jesus, let us be hearing from your Spirit tonight in the name of Jesus. God, whatever it is that's holding us back, Lord, cause us to examine that tonight. Jesus, whatever it is that's between you and I, God, I pray your Spirit would cause it to be illuminated in my life. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Has anybody ever started a diet? And I will be kind and end my questioning there. But have you ever started a diet? Never. Says the skinniest one in the room. Praise the Lord, I love Brother Hart. Amen. I'll tell you what happens, and this is the month of April, so we're far enough away from January for me to try to convict somebody about not holding up your beginning of the year resolution. That's good, Brother Hart, thank you. And so, oftentimes, we will start an endeavor. Diet is just an example. Whatever it is. We'll begin this endeavor with the intention of betterment to some degree. I want to lose weight. I want to get healthy. I want to, whatever it is, fit into that shirt that I really like. Whatever it is. That's my intent. But then sometimes, again, I'll be kind and say sometimes, something happens, and I don't fulfill that. I don't see it all the way through as I had originally intended. I'll admit, I was listening just for sake of learning. I was listening to some people that talk about this thing for a living. My wife is the nutrition expert. So most of my learning on this topic just comes straight from her. But I was looking up reasons why people start and then end a diet, or really what he was calling it was the reason why a diet might fail. And these few different reasons. The first one, he said, you don't have the right tools for it. And he kindly smartly shared his contract that he has with said manufacturer for this specific skillet. And he didn't say, you have to get this one, but he just made a little plug there for it. And I'm telling you, this one's good. It works. And if you don't have the right tools, this is not a bad place to start. Okay, and so I just started thinking, what do we have in our kitchen? I really don't even know because I'm not the one that does all the cooking. But then I started thinking, I need to be giving my wife some more funds so that she can buy what it is that she thinks we need to be able to keep up with this. Because I don't want that to be the reason why we can't fulfill a diet. So let's make sure we got all the right tools, okay? And that's just the start of it. Actually, I did get her an iron skillet. Was that for Christmas? Yes. And it's good. I like it. It works. I can tell you that. He said another reason why is because they don't do the preparation that has to go into it. Setting aside this plan and this meal for this day for breakfast, and then I'm going to eat this for lunch. If you're like me, you kind of wait and say, oh, it's lunchtime. I wonder what I'm going to have for lunch today. No preparation done there, okay? And he would even say, actually, the reason for that is because most people would say the reason why they don't do preparation is because they don't have the time for it. Because, well, it takes time on Saturday to get all the stuff that I'm going to be planning on Sunday to set aside, this is Monday, and then this is Tuesday, and then and so on and so forth. That takes a lot of time, and I got to have a weekend in there somewhere, right? Got to have this. And really what he was getting at is if you want to spend the time preparing, you will. Okay, but this will become an excuse if you don't. Not setting aside the time. And then this third thing that he mentioned really struck a chord with me. He said we don't fulfill our diet because we don't have proper goals. Wanting to lose weight is really not a set goal, okay? Because if we just stay here long enough, we'll all lose weight. Because there's not enough food in this room to keep us all from gaining, right? Or keep us from losing. So that's not really a strict goal there. But I got to thinking about this. In my walk with God, are there reasons why, or could these even be some similar reasons to why I fail to keep up the walk and the relationship with God that I think I need to, that I want to have with Him? First of all, do I have the tools? Do I have the right tools? Well, I would tell you, basically, this is kind of where you want to start. I'll just put a little plug in here for the Word of God, okay? This is the infomercial part of the message tonight. Doesn't have to be a Thompson and Chain reference study Bible given to you by your caring and loving in-laws. But it doesn't hurt. But that's the tool. I mean, if I want to get closer to God, I know it starts here with His Word. Okay? Knowing what He says, knowing how He feels, what He cares about, and how He thinks about these things. That's the tool that I've got to have. Okay? Now, thankfully, that's pretty readily accessible. If somebody doesn't have a Bible, see me. I've got one you can have. We have these tools, okay? But then, so what about this preparation part of it? Am I fulfilling the preparation part? And remember, in the diet example, it's because we don't set aside the time for it. Am I setting aside the time to prepare myself in my walk with God? Even if I just got to be realistic and think for a second, okay, let's take inventory of how does a normal week go. Well, Mondays I'm usually doing this, and Monday evenings we're doing that. Tuesdays I do this, and Tuesday evenings we do that. Wednesday evening, and so on. And if I examine these things, I did this. I want to say this was in a college-age class that I was teaching. I had everybody write out their schedule for the week. What do you do on Monday? And I even broke it down in segments of the day. Morning, 6 a.m. to 9 or 10 a.m. What are you doing? Midday, afternoon, evening. And these students were amazed because they said, I don't have time to do anything. I mean, I feel like I just sit around and do nothing. But when I write it out like this, I'm always with him, I'm always with her, I'm always here, I'm always there, or I'm in transit, or whatever it is. And they see it in writing in front of them, and then I say, okay, where is your time for the Lord in there? And then we start to realize, oh, I need to be making time for that. Because if I'm doing this every Monday, and I'm doing this every Tuesday, I'm doing this every Wednesday, how can I make time for that? And I'm just trying to be real with you. These are reasons why we may not be seeing the results that we want to in our walk with God. Because I'm always doing this. I'm not preparing the way that I should. Right? But then that last one, having goals. And think about that. How can I translate that, having a goal, into my walk with God? Well, I promise you, if you make it a goal to talk to somebody about God, you will find somebody to talk to about God, if you're serious about it. Because people are out there. They're everywhere. Okay? Now, it's on me now. I've got to do some examination. Do I really want to reach that goal of sharing my testimony or sharing the Word of God or whatever it is? Because if I want to, I can achieve that. That's not that difficult of a thing to do. Okay, it might seem like it at first, especially if you're like me. This is a confession of mine. I struggle to talk to people. And I know you all can't believe that because we all have such long, meaningful conversations, right? Even my wife's shaking her head no back there. But when I see the Bible and I see, okay, the scripture tells me I'm going to have power to become a witness. And I know, okay, I think I got the Holy Ghost, right? Okay, then I think I got the power to be a witness, right? So I should be able to go up and say, how are you doing today? However it goes, let me tell you about who I am, what I do. This is part of my life. And I promise you, you will see they're not going to get that out of my face. That's not how they're going to respond. Okay? Even if it's nothing more than common courtesy, you will probably at least get that. Oh, okay. And as I'm talking, I'm the one that's feeling better about this conversation because, hey, I got to share with you my belief, where I go to church, what I do, all these things, the things that I'm a part of and how it affects my life. And then all of a sudden, I'm looking for the next person because that wasn't so bad. And I'm trusting the Lord to do his result and to work with that person's life, and I'm on to the next one, okay? Because it's a goal. We're talking about setting goals here, right? It's a goal of mine to just share this, okay? You can have time goals, like the last time we talked about. I know I need to read at least a few verses, at least a chapter, whatever it is, every day. Okay, where am I going to fit it in the morning, in the afternoon, or at night? I have that goal, and I promise you it becomes more of a realistic thing that you see in your life. Amen? Now, all that being said, that's not really what I wanted to talk about tonight. But the Lord was dealing with me about diets, and I knew it had to be for a reason. So, look with me, if you will, at 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 15. Hopefully, if that first little intro wasn't practical enough for you, the rest of this will be. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. I don't normally do this, but if you are a note taker, this would be a very easy lesson to take some notes on. few words here and there. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. It says, "But as he which hath called you is holy." Everybody say holy. Holy. "So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written," verse 16, "because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Okay, so I just talked about what is the number one tool that I got to have in my relationship with God. It's the Bible, okay? And even when the Bible, when I'm wanting to know what's written in the Bible, I can read these verses, and then I can see it confirm itself because it is written, okay? You want to know what's in here? I'll tell you what's in here. It's written. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." That's what the scripture says, okay? Now, we're going to talk a little bit tonight about what does it mean to be holy, okay? Now, jump back up to verse 15, if you will. "So be ye holy in all manner of conversation." Conversation in our day and age means what we talk about, okay? But before I go any further, let me just say, the way that we talk has changed significantly, even in my lifetime. Because I said it earlier, I'm not a talker, but I know how to communicate. I do communicate on a daily basis with many people. For a living, I have to communicate. Okay? Thank God for the keyboard and the phone so I can communicate. That's a form of conversation. Okay? So I've got to be holy in that form of conversation. Because when the scripture says, this is, I know this is going to be revelatory for everybody in the room. When the scripture says all, it means all. All manner of conversation. Okay? You pick out a way, and that way applies. Because it's under all manner of conversation. Okay? But now, conversation really, she's been talking to me all night. Conversation is more than just talking, texting, emailing, instant messaging, okay? Not just my communication with somebody. It actually means a manner of life, how I live my lifestyle, my conduct, my behavior, okay? All manner of behavior, all manner of conduct, all manner of lifestyle has to be holy, all right? Now, we just jumped up a level from how I talk and text and email to how I behave, okay? I heard that word a whole lot when I was little. Behave. You better behave. And I'm thinking, I don't even know what have is. How do I behave? But all manner of lifestyle, okay, be holy. So I want to talk about what does it mean to be holy. That's what we're going to try to talk about tonight. But first of all, we got to see how does this even apply, holiness? Okay, it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, I have to say this. There is only one holy. Okay? God is holy. So when he says, "You be holy because I'm holy," really what he's saying is, you be like me. You do things the way I do them. You behave the way I behave, okay? Now, thankfully, those of us that are parents in the room, we don't always have to say, "You behave like I behave." I mean, we should, right? But I can remember back to some of my younger years, and I can think to myself, "You better not behave like I behaved," okay? But so God is saying here, this is how I am, This is what I am. This is who I am. This is who you need to be. Okay? Scripture even says, without holiness, no man shall see God. Okay? Without holiness. We already jumped up one level. I think that takes it up another notch. Without holiness, no man shall see God. And that verse, that holiness, is exactly what we're talking about here. Being holy as he is holy in all manner of conversation. Okay? So we're going to talk about five words. First one is holy, but the next four are going to portray or give us an example of what it means to be holy, because all five of these words revolve around the same idea, same meaning. Okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This is when God is teaching his disciples. Jesus is teaching his disciples how to pray. And he starts this Lord's Prayer, remember? He says, after this manner, or pray the way that I'm going to pray. Okay? Our Father, which art in heaven, what's the next word? Hallowed, or hallowed. Hallowed be thy name. Second word is hallowed. Okay? If he had said, our Father which art in heaven, holy be thy name, it has the exact same meaning. Because hallowed and holy mean the same. Okay? So this in itself is a revelation of his name and what his name is, how his name is portrayed. Your name is unlike any other name. Okay? Hallowed be your name. And actually, what he's even saying here, he's instructing us to pray, hallowed be your name. Let your name be hallowed. Or I could even say, cause your name to be hallowed. Make your name. All these things are talking about how I and you reference his name and what we think about his name. Another scripture says, don't take his name in vain. Okay? Because his name is hallowed. Because his name is holy. Okay? So holy, hallowed, they have the same meaning. All right? It means separate from profane things. And it also means consecrated. That's what hallowed means. Okay? Now, the next word I'm going to give you is sacred. Believe it or not, if you search the King James Bible, how many times do you think the word sacred is in there? Zero. I know, that's just a little bit of trivia there. But if you switch over to any other translation, you're going to find it often. Okay? It even calls the scriptures sacred. Okay, but in those instances where we see sacred in other translations, if you look at the King James, you know what word you see? Holy. It's right on the front of my Bible even. Holy Bible. Okay? So sacred. And the reason why I put that in there is because we know what that word means. That's sacred. You don't touch it. You don't mess with that. Right? Well, We see this in the story of Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, in the temple. They lived there, and they didn't understand what sacred meant. Okay? They treated that like it was their house, their bedroom. Okay? Sneaking in the back door. All these things. Because they didn't view his dwelling place, his presence, as sacred, okay, or as holy. But so holy, hallowed, sacred, they have that same meaning, set apart, not like anything else, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting at verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you. We'll get to the such part in a minute. Okay. But such were some of you. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified. Sanctified is the next word here. That's our fourth word. They all have the same meaning. If it said you are washed and you are holy, it would have the same meaning. Okay? You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Jump back up to verse 9 there, if you will, in this passage. And we'll get to what it means. Because if we know such were some of you, were is past tense. This is what you used to be. But you are, that's present tense. This is what you are now. You are washed. You are sanctified. Okay? It says, know ye not, where are we? Verse 11, verse 9. Okay, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, nor shall inherit the kingdom of God. And verse 11 says, such were some of you. That little laundry list that we just read there. That's what you used to be. Such were some of you. You're unrighteous, okay? But now you are washed. And now you are sanctified. What this means is now you are holy, okay? God is not unrighteous. God is not any of those things. So if I'm not those things and I am sanctified, I'm made holy, I am made like God. Okay? That's what it means. That's the work that he does in our lives. When he makes us righteous, when he makes us justified, he makes us holy. Okay? We have to see ourselves as holy. First of all, we have to see it as something that can be attained, okay? We'll start right there because no doubt some of us have heard from, met, probably even still know, possibly even related to people that talk about being holy as something that you and I will never be and can never be. If that's the case, I'll show them that first scripture we read and say, okay then, it is written, be ye holy. Are you telling me you and I don't have a shot? Because that's what it sounds like. Scripture says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay? So I've got to see it as something that can be attained. And then I've got to see it as something that I personally can attain and reach. Okay? Not just look at Elder Hart. Oh, he's so holy. I'll never be holy like that. We got to get beyond that. I have to get beyond that. I have to be able to see this holiness, what God has for me and what he's telling me to be, is something that I can be. Okay? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. We're talking about being sanctified for a minute, okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. If a man, put your finger in your chest and say, that means me. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. Okay. If a man purge himself from these. Okay, now that doesn't mean I need to take 10 showers a day and 2 baths just to make sure I'm extra clean. Okay? Because the reason why I say that, I can't make myself holy. Okay? But I can purge myself from things that are unholy. I'll say that again. I can't make myself holy, but I can purge myself from things that are unholy. Okay? He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. There it is again, showing me that it is something that I can attain. If I purge myself from these things, I can be prepared to do a good work. I can be meet for the master's use. That means I can reach the level that he's wanting me to reach. Okay. What does it mean to purge something? It means to get rid of, right? Those of us that work in the electronic world, we know what purge data means, right? I won't bore you with that, but trust me. It's something that I've had to do often in my line of work. You have all this data. You don't know what's what. How do I get? You just get rid of all of it. Start over with new. That's what it means. You purge that. Okay? So we're talking about being sanctified, becoming sanctified. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to jump back to this chapter. So we've got holy, we've got hallowed, we've got sacred, we've got sanctified. Okay? And now we're going to talk about this fifth word with this same meaning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye what? Separate. That's the fifth word. If it had said, come out from among them and be ye holy, it has the same meaning. Okay? So in 1 Peter, when we say, be ye holy, and here we say, be ye separate, same thing. Okay? Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay? I see this as after I've been purged, or part of this purging process. Because after I've been purged, after I've been sanctified, washed, cleaned, purified, now I have this one instruction. Touch not the unclean thing. Okay? Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I want to be separate. I need to be separate. You'll notice we're talking about holiness without talking about a list of rules. Right? Because oftentimes in the church, well, we come to Elder Hart and say, Elder, tell me what I can do and what I can't do so I'll be holy. Because I know I need holiness. I see it in the scripture there for myself. Without holiness, I can't see God. So tell me, what can I not do and still be holy? What can I do and still be holy? Okay? Here's the only thing that I'll say along those lines. If there's nothing separate about my life from that which is unclean, I know I'm not holy. Okay? I'm going to say that one more time. If there's nothing separate about my life from something that's unclean, then I know I'm not holy. Okay? And we talk about this, we talk about holiness, we talk about being separate, and the key thing to say here is being separate unto God. That's a key phrase. It's only two little words, but it means everything. Separate unto God. Okay? If I fill this platform up with you know, those little rubber balls that are in a ball pit, and I say, okay, we're going to separate these balls. Okay? We're going to make them. We're going to pull all the red ones out. Okay? We got every color up here. We're going to separate the red ones. Okay? Then you come up here and you separate all the red. I got all the red ones right here. Okay, well, just drop them. They're separate. Okay, well, that only fulfilled half of this purpose, because what are they being separated to? Actually, what you do, you have all these. You say, okay, what do you want me to do with them? What do I take these? Okay, you're halfway there. Now you separate it. You separate yourself unto God. Otherwise, you're just separate for the sake of being different. I'm not going to preach on that tonight. But I don't want to be separate just for the sake of being different. Okay? That's not something that men will follow, being separate for the sake of being different. If I know I'm supposed to be leading people to Christ, and Christ is over here, and my separation just takes me off here somewhere in left field, and they're following me, oh, we don't do that. No, we don't do that. Stay over here. This is us. We're this group over here that doesn't do that. And then sooner or later, they're going to look around and say, okay, this is all the people that don't do that, but where's God? Well, oh, he's over there. Okay? So we separate ourselves unto God. Okay? And that's how we become sanctified. That's how we become meet for the Master's use, able for him to use us. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? The scripture that we read says this: if a man purges himself, and I'm going to just give us here at the close of this service some time to purge ourselves. Okay? I cannot do the full cleansing work in my life to make myself holy, but I can do the separating work. I can start that purging work in my life because I know, okay, this is not clean. This is unclean. Is it in my life? Then I'm going to get it out. This is not righteous. Is it in my life? Then I'm going to get it out. You know what we call that? We call that repentance. Okay? Getting that unrighteousness out. I heard this analogy one time. It talks about repentance, and it talks about forgiveness. I know it's my job to repent, and I know it's his job to forgive. Okay? What does that mean? If I come to the Lord, I've got this dirty, beat-up pair of tennis shoes that used to be white. Now they're just kind of like a muddy, brownish, old-looking pair of tennis shoes. He's going to take those from me. He's going to say, okay, here you go. Here's your spotless, new, brand new, white tennis shoes. Thank you, Jesus. He forgave me, okay? He gave me those. Now, where does the repentance part come in that? If I put those sparkling, bright, new, white tennis shoes on and go straight for the mud, have I repented? No. I got to go back to him again. Lord, they're dirty. They're muddy. I need those new pairs. Here you go. Here's a new pair of white tennis shoes. All right. I got them on, and they look good. Oh, there's a mud puddle right there. I really want to jump in it. I really want to jump in it. It's so fun to jump in the mud and get all dirty. But when I repent, I change the course of direction. I step over it. I step around it. I do whatever I have to do that's different than the path that took me through it. That's how I repent. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you what. The Lord's forgiveness is here tonight. Okay? His forgiveness is here. He is willing. He is faithful to forgive us. The question is, are we willing to repent? Why don't we find a place of repentance tonight? In the name of Jesus, God, in your name, Lord, we seek after you tonight, God. I pray, Lord, let your word purge me tonight. Purge me with hyssop tonight, Lord Jesus. Wash me, Lord, and I shall be clean. God, let your word wash me, God. I want to be washed into regeneration, Lord Jesus. I want to be a new creature, Lord, made new, made made clean in you, Jesus. God, I long for your holiness, God. I long to be made holy tonight, Jesus. I want to be separated unto you, God. Lord, I want to be fit for your use in your kingdom, Jesus. God, I pray, let there be a purging work done in our lives tonight. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Purge us, Lord God.
Holiness. Praise God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have a baptism. If you'd want to stick around for a while, my grandson, Callum, is going to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of his sins. Amen. Why don't you stand? Why don't you look around, greet somebody you haven't spoken to yet tonight?